This is Focal Point with Brian Fisher on AFR Talk.
Listen to the audio podcast or download today's program at AFR.net. You can also read Brian Fisher's columns at OneNewsNow.com. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us anytime at FocalPoint@AFR.net.
FocalPoint@AFR.net.
Hi, and welcome back to Focal Point AFR Talk, this Thursday edition of Focal Point. Brian Fisher is my name, congenial, convivial, and amiable as always. You know, one of the truths that we have visited on this program is the plain simple fact that social research reveals that homosexual males, and by the way, I want to give a content warning for this segment. This is going to be a PG-13 segment. We're not going to be off color here, but the content's pretty strong. The content is pretty mature. So if you've got ears that you want to protect, I encourage you to send them out of the room or to change channels. We don't want to put you into an awkward situation as a parent, but I just want to give you that content warning about what we're going to talk about here. So give you just a couple of seconds to make whatever changes you need to make, and then we'll jump into it. Now, looking at the best in social research, it very conclusively indicates that homosexual males molest children at an exaggerated rate. In fact, I'm looking at a piece from the Journal of Sex Research, and it found that although heterosexuals outnumber homosexuals by a ratio of at least 20 to 1, remember, only about 1.6% of the population is homosexual, according to the CDC. Homosexual pedophiles commit 1/3 of the total number of child sex offenses. 1/3 of all of the sex offenses against children are committed by homosexual males. This is not according to some right-wing website. This is according to the Journal of Sex Research. Now, archives of sexual behavior, this is Peter Sprigg from FRC talking about putting this research together. We can infer that homosexual or bisexual men are approximately 10 times more likely to molest children than heterosexual men. This is one of the pathologies that we frequently cite to say, look, this is not behavior we ever ought to normalize or legalize or celebrate or promote or endorse as a culture, because homosexual males offend against children at 10 times the rate of heterosexuals. Now, that backstory figures into a breaking story today from the state of Oregon, and here to help us sort through all of this is our good friend Scott Lively. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hi, Brian. How you doing today?
Good. Good to have you back on the program. And just want to congratulate you, first of all, before we dive into this, for your campaign for the governorship of the state of Massachusetts. You campaigned as an unapologetic conservative, and you gave the people in Massachusetts, you gave them a choice, and not a echo, but a choice.
That's right. I preached the gospel into a very dark political arena where it hasn't been heard for at least 50 years, maybe 100. And it was the best fun I've ever had in my life.
Now, Scott, I want to turn our attention to what's happened out in Oregon. There's an organization called the Human Rights Campaign. The Human Rights Campaign has identified you as the number one global enemy. Their number one global enemy. They painted a target on your back. They've sent out a publication. Here are the 10 or the 12 or whatever. Here are the worst offenders against homosexual orthodoxy, and number one on the hit list is Scott Lively. So tell us.
I hear jealousy in your voice there, Brian.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, Scott, I was not even on that list. You know,
I was actually shocked.
Well, you know, it was an international list. So
yeah, I guess.
What I've done is just made trouble here at home. I don't have enough whatever to make trouble across the ocean like guys like you do, Scott. So that puts you right in the crosshairs of their international global hit list of people that are their number one enemies. Now, what's the tie-in? We have this story out of Oregon. Tell us the story and tell us the connection with the HRC and this hit list and all that business.
Yes, well, the Human Rights Campaign, of course, it's the largest homosexual advocacy organization in the United States, which probably means in the world. They're very, very aggressive, very militant, enormously funded. And their founder was just arrested yesterday for pederasty, for man-boy sex, with a 15-year-old boy, who was just the latest in a string of victims that he had been having sex with and filming it with a hidden camera in the smoke detector in his ceiling. So this broke in the Willamette Week newspaper yesterday, and now it's reverberating around the country, especially since this is the man who was the largest money man in Oregon for President Obama, and even rode on Air Force One with him and was called by President Obama a very good friend and an ally or something like that.
Yeah, so this guy, in other words, you know, I'm looking at the story from the Oregonian, which is the major newspaper in the state of Oregon, and it says this guy, his name is Bean, Terrence Patrick Bean. I mean, this guy is a player in Democratic.
Major player.
Major player in Democratic.
Not only founded the Human Rights Campaign, he also founded the LGBT Victory Fund. Big, big money man. And, you know, this is a general. If you take the whole activist army and you identify people based on military rank, this guy is a general.
Well, and one of the heavy wallets, I gave $1 million, according to one of the sources here, $1 million to the Human Rights Campaign, which is going after us, by the way, going after AFA here in our home state of Mississippi. So the HRC has got their tentacles out there everywhere.
Yeah.
So this guy's a major player. He's taken rides on Air Force One. Pictures have been on his sister's Facebook account. President Obama flies out there to Oregon. This Terrence Bean is there on the tarmac to greet him as he gets off the plane. So this guy, one of the major bundlers, major donors, major Democrat activists, as well as a major homosexual activist.
Yeah, and still on the board at HRC, too. He's not just the founder. He's still on the board. And so this is a major player. And, of course, the Human Rights Campaign, their focus on me in significant part is that I say that homosexual men are disproportionately likely to be engaged in sex with boys. And so, and they call that distortions and lies. And as an example, they fully support the lawsuit that's been filed against me by their fellow travelers in the so-called Center for Constitutional Rights for the crimes against humanity. And that lawsuit also very heavily dependent on the accusation that I make a charge and claim that it's an incitement to violence, when really all it is just stating scientific and historic fact.
Well, you know, and Scott Lively is a defendant in an unprecedented case. He's actually been charged in a federal court in the United States with committing crimes against humanity. This is the stuff that we used against the Nazis at Nuremberg. Crimes
That's right.
against
that was
humanity.
For the Nazis. That there was no such thing as crime against humanity until they prosecuted the Nazis. And now they've twisted this to suggest that a pastor, I'm a pastor, preaching the Bible against homosexuality in Uganda was the equivalent of Adolf Hitler killing 6 million Jews.
And so I think it's appropriate to go back, and we've talked about this frequently here, but ladies and gentlemen, disagreement is not hatred. We do not hate homosexuals. We love them. We don't want to see anybody trapped in that lifestyle. We want to see them delivered and freed from the clutches of that lifestyle. We know what it does to people that are engaged in it. We don't want anybody to have to live like that. So we're here to sound a word of hope and a word of alternative. So we don't hate them. We just disagree with normalizing that behavior. So disagreement is not hatred. And the truth is not hate speech. And that's what Scott's on trial for, simply telling the truth about homosexuality. Now, one other thing, Scott, we've got just a couple of minutes left, but you've got a book out called The Pink Swastika. I've referred to it numerous times. I've gotten in a large amount of trouble myself for referring to that book.
Yeah, but, they hate me for that more than anything else.
I know it. But what you discuss in that book, The Pink Swastika, I encourage everybody to go get it. What you discuss in The Pink Swastika is the connection between the Nazi Party leadership, and not only homosexuality in general, but pedophilia in particular.
That's right. The core of the Nazi Party, Adolf Hitler's inner circle, were pederasts. Pedophile and pederast are different categories. Pederasty describes man-boy sex, adult men, and usually teenage boys around the age of puberty. Usually not the little boys, but around the age of puberty. And that is at the core of male homosexual culture, always has been, and it was in Germany as well. We have the fourth edition of the Pink Swastika. It's almost 400 pages of documentation of this thesis, and we're working on the fifth edition, and anybody can access. We've got four chapters in the fifth edition at lively.net. You just go on there and just click where it says the title, The Pink Swastika, and it'll take you right there. The first four chapters in PDF, no charge, and you can see even the latest, even more than we had in the fourth edition.
And, you know, people always say, well, the Nazis persecuted homosexuals, and that's true. But the point you make in the book is they persecuted effeminate homosexuals because their masculine ideal was a strong, masculine homosexual warrior.
That's right. The Nazis were, in fact, German fascism was an outgrowth of the German macho, masculine-oriented male homosexuals. And their political enemies were the effeminate homosexuals who are aligned with the German Communist Party. And that's all explained in the book. There actually weren't that many that were persecuted, but there were some. And no one wanted to be a victim of the Nazis, believe me. And so that was no fun at all. But there are far more perpetrators, homosexual perpetrators, than there ever were homosexual victims in Nazi Germany.
I just want to read one quote, Scott, you included in a column you wrote this morning or an email you sent out, a quote from The Order of the Death's Head by Heinous Haney. And this is a book that the New York Times extols as a monumental achievement. So they recognize him as a historian. And it describes Ernst Röhm as a guy that used stormtrooper funds for the procuring of boys for sexual pleasure. This from a noted historian. For a monthly salary of 200 marks, this particular individual kept Ernst Röhm supplied with new friends, his main hunting ground being Geisela High School in Munich. From this school, he recruited no fewer than 11 boys whom he first tried out and then took to Ernst Röhm. Scott, 15 seconds. What's the bottom line here?
Bottom line is keep looking up. The Lord is coming back, and we just need to be standing for His truth until that happens.
My guest, Dr. Scott Lively, author of the great book, The Pink Swastika, vindicated today by this breaking story from Oregon. Thank you, Scott. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Brian. God bless you.
Focal Point AFR Talk will take your calls coming right out of the break.